"Enjoying the ride, miss?"
"What?" She had been leaning forward, watching the passing countryside, and the question caught her by surprise. "Oh, yes, thank you," she said, even though it was not entirely true. Annie McCormick settled back into the plushly upholstered rear seat of the limousine and tried to forget for a moment the ominous presence of the driver in front. It would take no small amount of effort, even with a man's back to her. His name was Spencer, he had told her, and Annie wondered if it was his first or last name. She even entertained the notion that it might not be his real name, for Spencer looked uncomfortably like the stereotyped image of a thug, the perfect type to play a heavy in some British movie about crime and the underworld. But she dismissed the thought almost as quickly as it came. A man of breeding and society such as Kurt Devereaux was would never hire anyone with a criminal record. At the thought of Kurt Devereaux, she smiled faintly to herself. Had it been only 2 days since she last seen him? It seemed longer. A silly feeling, perhaps, since she had only just met him the week before when he first entered Thornton James Antiques, where she was employed. She pictured him in her mind's eye as he looked that first day, tall, blonde, impeccably dressed. She knew somehow, even before he spoke, that he was French. The youngish Devereaux, Annie guessed him to be 29 or 30, roughly 5 years older than herself, came into the shop seeking a particular item, and Annie enjoyed handling the transaction. He returned to the shop a second time to finalize the deal and to discuss delivery of the relic. Then, just 2 days ago, he met her for lunch, where he suggested that she bring the relic out herself and see the old house the Devereaux family had acquired with the intention of converting it into a small museum of New England history. "I'd love to," she told him, then caught herself. "But I don't think I could get the time off."
"I am sure I could persuade your employer, Annie," he said. "There must be a great many suggestions you could make to assist in the selection of other artifacts."
She was secretly flattered that he should value her opinion, and more than a little interested in seeing the man again, even if only out of curiosity. Devereaux, with his European charm and quiet manners, was something of an enigma, his sudden presence in her life a refreshing change from her everyday work in New Haven, Connecticut. It had taken little effort to convince her employer to let her have a few days off. A certain glow had lit up in Thornton James' eyes at the mention of more prospective sales, and he'd even gone so far as to remark that it would be beneficial to recommend other artifacts and historical pieces available through the shop. For all his cultured New England ways, Thornton James was at heart a money-minded businessman. Not unpleasant to work with, really, as long as his basic rules were followed, and Annie had always been a diligent employee. The sudden sharp wail of a passing ambulance cut through her thoughts, and Annie noticed that the sleek gray limousine was now well out of the New Haven area and continuing along the Connecticut coast. It would not be much longer before they reached their destination. The Devereaux house was situated on a resort island only a few square miles in size and less than a quarter mile offshore. The causeway that reached it should be coming into view soon. Jarrett's Island had once been an exclusive residential area owned by a mere handful of families. Before that, it had served for nearly a century as the base for a small fishing village whose humble craft had plied Long Island Sound and the ocean beyond. Annie had learned that much about the place, at least, enough to conjure up picturesque images of a quaint little retreat far from the city life she had known, far in many ways than just distance. Annie looked down at the relic case she held in her lap, and on impulse decided to open it. Working the catches silently and with great care, lest she attract the attention of Spencer, she raised the top half of the case. Inside the velvet-lined compartment was a richly engraved cross of gold, with the dull gleam of ages past. Its center bore an oval medallion with an enameled image of St. Anne, and gemstones dotted its arms. It had no doubt touched many lives since being completed by the skilled artisan who had formed it, and now it belonged to Kurt Devereaux, entrusted to Annie for safe delivery. Perhaps the relic should have been sent out to the island by armored car. It was valuable enough to warrant it, but Devereaux had insisted that the safest way was the most obvious, and besides,
There had been no announcement of the purchase or its intended destination.